What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser, Junior Riddle here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are live out at Duncan in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. We're going to be out here all morning long. Chase and Big Joe will be out here as well from 9 to 11 a.m. Come on out, the grand opening of the new Duncan location here in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. Come on out. Lots of people rolling in already, so we're excited to see you. We got giveaways out here. We got people braving the elements. We got Junie Riddle out here causing a stir. A lot of things going on out here at Duncan.
Junie's driving to Pittsburgh today.
Oh, you're driving? Wow, how about that? Dedication from Junie Riddle.
You need
big
to,
homecoming
you
tomorrow.
Take some of this coffee with you, man.
That's right. How long a drive is that?
It's about 9 hours, but you know, okay, I bet we'll run into some traffic in Cincinnati, so maybe around 10.
Okay.
You got to time that out. Miss that. Yeah, you got to miss that rush hour, man.
That's right.
Well, when you're leaving at 11 o'clock Central Time, I think you just got to bite the bullet
and just
get
go.
There as soon as possible.
Yeah, you just go. There's no question. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Tyrekus. Tyrekus, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Man, no worries, man. You know, just holding it down. You know what I'm saying? But, yo, real quick, man. So, I just want to talk about the Titans. So, for example, the Panthers drafted Gary Coleman over Will Levis. The Texans drafted over Will Levis. You got the Colts drafted over Will Levis. What's so crazy is that I feel like for the next 15 years, if this guy shows he's a guy, it's something that they're going to be, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that they're going to be disappointed about for the next 15 years. But my question is, so Thursday night football, man, this is the moment that we show the world that we're serious. We show all the free agency and the free agent market that the Titans are willing to take the next step. Because you got to face the fact, we got people that are saying, we should go get T. Higgins. But he ain't going to come to this 1965 team. Thursday night, you got to go out there and play. You got to go out there and show you're willing to put that ball in the air. I just want to know what you guys think about that.
Yep, thanks for the call, Tyrekus.
Hold on.
Gary Coleman.
You just called Bryce Young Gary Coleman. That is absolute disrespect, Tyrekus. My goodness. I can't wait till Bryce Young's MVP in 3 years.
I just looked up Gary Coleman's height. He's 4'8", according to the listings.
That is tough, man. That is tough. So, okay.
Well done, Tyrekus. I enjoyed that.
So, the question. So, okay. I missed the part. Who's not coming to this 1965 team?
T. Higgins. Got to attract the free agents.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Got to show that you're willing to air that ball out.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, if T. Higgins saw Sunday's game, seems like they throw the ball down the field all of a sudden and score a touchdown. So, I mean, if I was T. Higgins, and who knows how the heck that's going to go, right? But if I was T. Higgins, the idea of playing with DeAndre Hopkins next year would not be the most unappealing thing in the world, would it?
No.
You know, the 1965 thing, you know, I don't know where that lands on my pet peeve list, but it's somewhere in there. The whole, like, the idea that, like, the Titans are again calling, like, my middle school teams, like, you know, fullback dives, and they're running a 1983 offense. I mean, it's, you know, they give the ball to Derrick Henry a lot, so it looks that way. But they actually have an offense that is also run by other NFL teams.
Gary Coleman, God rest his soul, threw for 235 yards and a touchdown. On Sunday for the Panthers.
You just confused me with that, but yes. Yeah, by the way, Bryce Young totally outperformed C.J. Stroud in that game and beat him. Grant, I'm not saying it was an offensive Van Gogh, but, you know, we'll see. You'll all see with Bryce Young. Get your shots in now, just like everybody was ripping on Tua. You'll see.
Great call, Tyrekus.
I don't know why I'm like such a big Alabama quarterback.
You do love you some
promoter,
Bama quarterbacks.
But not Mac Jones.
What do you think about him?
No, he sucks.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
So Will Levis, obviously we've talked so much about him this week, and what a phenomenal debut it was for Levis. Now you move ahead, and he's going to be the starter on the road tomorrow for the Titans, taking on a Pittsburgh defense and specifically a Pittsburgh pass rush that can really get after you. T.J. Watt, if he's not the best pass rusher in the league, he's certainly one of the two or three best pass rushers in the league, and that's going to be a problem for the Titans to try to deal with that with their offensive front. So having said all that, given what we know about Pittsburgh's pass rush and given what we've seen from Will Levis to this point, an extremely limited sample size, one game that's looked very good, what do you expect from him heading into game two? And I'll ask you the same thing I asked you last week. If he goes out there again and he just lights it up, what does that tell you about him? And what does that tell you about what this Titans team can be if he goes out there and plays extremely well again tomorrow on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, well, I think the big thing that gets lost Sunday because of the deep shots, which were fantastic, especially the last one, is I just thought operationally, just quick decisions, just kind of seeing the field and understanding what was going on. It's pretty impressive, man, for a rookie. And, you know, again, it's a rookie it's 2 months into his rookie season. He's been able to sit. But there's just something about being out there. Can you handle all that stuff? And he handled it really well. It's still a totally different thing. You know, he's in a friendly stadium. He's got all his family there. Although I imagine you probably have some family in Pittsburgh too, right? Pretty short drive from home. Former Penn Stater that he is. But if he goes out on the road short week, tough defense, really good pass rush, and plays anything close to that, yeah, it's got to be encouraging. I mean, there's going to be ups and downs, right? I mean, of course there are going to be ups and downs. I mean, the greatest quarterbacks of all time had terrible days. You know, everybody
does. Brady?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Brady had some terror. Remember Brady here? And that 34-10 loss to the Titans, the year that they won the Super Bowl, he looked like a diseased goat out there. Not the goat. He was running around and trying to throw a little pass to him. It was
awful.
I knew
I could get you to take a shot at Tom Brady.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, you trigger me when you ask me if – that's like a question Jared would ask seriously. You never had a bad day. Did he throw a pick? I don't think so. Everybody has bad days. Levis will have bad days. If he has a second good day 4 days after that debut, yeah, it's pretty
encouraging. The wheels start to get turning then, right? Yeah. As to, like, obviously the future part of it, which is one thing, but also, like, now. Like, what does it mean now? Because, obviously, if he goes out there and he plays really well again on Thursday, the future part of the conversation of, oh, have the Titans found their franchise quarterback? That obviously is something that we're going to talk about and what that means for free agency and what that means for the timeline of how quickly the Titans can get back to being a contender in the AFC, all those things. But what about, like, now? Like, if they win this game and he plays well, they're 4-4. They got Tampa coming up the week after that. They'll have a showdown with Jacksonville the week after that. I mean, if he goes out there and you get really good quarterback play 2 weeks in a row and you're able to win both of these games – I mean, all of a sudden, you're back in it. You're back in the race, be that for the division, be that for a wild card race. And if Levis is playing really well in back-to-back games, I mean, doesn't that kind of transform what you think you might be as a team if you're in that building, looking ahead to kind of the rest of the schedule there?
Yeah, I mean, you go to Tampa Bay, and then you know for sure now he's QB2 once Tannehill resumes starting, and you know, yes, Willis will be QB3.
Thank you.
They feel really good about QB2.
They would.
No. I mean, look. I mean, it's we're letting the thoughts go wild off one game, but these.
I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a fair question. And look, Pittsburgh is certainly a beatable team. Right? I mean, Pittsburgh's a beatable team. Tampa Bay is certainly a beatable team. So if you can somehow get yourself to 5-4 going to that Jacksonville game, whatever they're looking like, they look good. They look like the team that some people thought they might be. Now, I don't know. I still don't know that Jacksonville is really going to be there at the very top and really, you know, right there with the best of the AFC this year. But they look really good.
They look
right
good.
Now. They look good. But, yeah, you know, I think right now you're thinking if you can get yourself to even and then get above even, then you at least you are absolutely in the middle of a wild card race. And what a story that would be if it's because Will Levis is playing quarterback consistently well week after week. Will Levis for MVP? Wow. Is it too late?
What are the odds?
Junie's going to put a vote in for him.
We'll get into that a little bit later. Drew on the text line says, I feel like they should be practicing with Willie Dimes. Interesting nickname. having pass rushers in his face all day today at practice. He was not under pressure too much on Sunday. However, it looked like the team played harder with him under the helm. Now, he did get hit 11 times on Sunday.
He was under pressure. The pressure percentage, all the underlying numbers, he was under pressure. Yeah, he got hit 11 times. He only got sacked twice.
And he will probably be under more pressure tomorrow.
He got sacked twice, but the thing is, he got sacked twice, in part credit to him that he got sacked twice. Yep. You know, that's the thing. There were a couple sacks that were right there for the Falcons, and he unloaded the ball. Mitchell says, Will Levis's nickname is Billy Jean's, FYI. Wow, thanks, Mitchell. We haven't explored that at all. Is that new? Have you heard that?
I
wrote some terrible song lyrics to that in The Athletic the other day. I think we all know it's Billy Jean's now, right?
Is that what we're officially going with?
I think Billy Jean's.
Have we asked him
awesome
about
nickname.
This? Has anybody asked Will Levis on record about Billy Jean's?
That's a good question. I don't think so. He hasn't quite earned the right to field questions about a nickname. You know what I mean? I think you got to.
When do you earn that right? Game 6?
Beat Pittsburgh, and I think okay. It's okay to ask him going into Tampa Bay weeks if he likes Billy Jean's.
Okay.
Even if he doesn't, like, it's, you know, sometimes it's just too bad.
It's out of your hands.
Yeah, not the denim delivery man.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a secondary nickname. But, yeah, thanks, Mitchell.
615-737-1025. Your expectations for Will Levis heading in tomorrow's game against Pittsburgh? And what does it mean if he goes out there and lights up the Steelers and plays great for 2 weeks in a row? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 5 o'clock on the road against New Mexico State. Pregame beginning at 4 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 6:45 for our college football game of the week. LSU taking on Alabama, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We'll have Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee coming up at 7:30. Paul Kaharski from paulkaharski.com joining us from 8 to 9 o'clock today on the program. We are out live here at Duncan in Old Hickory. Kaharski will be back at the studio, so he's in our stomping grounds. Could be dangerous, Rex Road.
You touch my stuff, I kill you. You touch my headphones, I kill you.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. Lots of people on the text line today have pointed out the clip from NFL Films where Jeffrey Simmons is mic'd up and some of his comments from Will Levis and the way that he played on Sunday. Here's a snippet of that clip from Jeffrey Simmons and some of the things he said on Sunday, mic'd up in the game against the Falcons.
Levis throwing deep. Levis trying to get it to Hopkins. Will Levis, first career touchdown.
Touchdown, Will Levis, man. Touchdown, I told you.
Levis looking to throw it. The trifecta, Levis to Hopkins.
Oh, God, he's the quarterback. Touchdown, Will can play now.
That was Jeffrey Simmons. Very excited
somewhere
about
in there.
Will Levis.
Yeah.
Said he could play. Very excited about Will Levis.
There was a lot of I told you.
Yeah, him and Art Key.
Yeah, I told you. So some excitement from the players. It was a cool clip. Yeah, that's the type of thing. Now, someone on the text on earlier was like, I think that there was a problem in the locker room was, you know, like Tannehill or something, or like, you know, the quarterback. Yeah, well, it was a problem in the locker room. But, you know, you want to win. So if someone comes in and plays like that, you get excited, you know.
Apparently Jeffrey Simmons saw it coming. If he's telling Art Key, I told you so.
Well.
He saw it coming.
Show team.
Well.
He saw him throwing around with the show team. That's the type of stuff that gets a locker room excited. The problem is losing, right? I mean, whatever the reason is, I mean, if you want to really, you know, if you want to spy on some kind, if you had Connor Stallions and you would, you know, mic up all the conversations in the locker room, most of the complaining would probably be about, like, Andre Dillard and the terrible offensive line, right? Because that's the worst part of the team.
Probably.
You know? But, hey, there's got to be excitement about this. And, again, Levis did face pressure and was quick enough with his decisions and just getting rid of the ball that he didn't, you know, that it didn't cost him. That's going to be a huge test of that tomorrow night. But real quick, sorry, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Junie, a resident terrible towel insider. What's his deal? What do you think?
He's out. I think they are. They've already officially ruled.
Did they rule him out? Okay, that's my bad.
Dealing with a hamstring.
Yeah. So
obviously that's good news for the Titans.
That's good news for the Titans. Cam Hayward is a big question here. That's an interesting one.
Got a text that says, "I know it's still early, but Rand's first draft looking pretty good." Talking about Rand Carthon's first draft. Skoronski, number one overall. Spears, Will Levis coming in looking pretty good the other day too. Josh Wiley's had some moments.
Yeah, Wiley. Fifth, sixth round pick?
No. Fifth round.
Can't never get anybody good there. Fifth and sixth round, no one ever comes out of that area to play well in the NFL. Bag of balls. Analysis. Hashtag.
Brady, sixth round.
Right. I mean, Titans have, you know. David Long Jr., were the Titans like him still? Jaron Brown, was he good? I think he was pretty good. We keep going?
It's bothered you, hasn't it?
Well, it's just stupid. No, there's no excuse for being stupid.
What did you make of the apparently a lot of conversation yesterday about our Russini interview, talking about Rand Carthon, his role with the Titans? And
we're going to get into that with PK.
We are.
Yes.
We are going to get into that with PK, but just your initial thoughts on Stillman had the tweet yesterday, and I will find it. But basically said that Diana Russini on our show confirmed that Rand Carthon is running the team rather than Mike Vrabel. What do you make of all that?
What I make of all that is, are you
runs actually, the Titans personnel was the actual phrase he said.
Yeah. I'm totally with Kaharski. I mean, I said it yesterday. Like, again, some of this is semantics, but she did not say, yes, Rand Carthon is Mike Vrabel's boss, and whatever Rand says goes, and Mike has to agree to it. Now, if that was said, then it's like, whoa, everybody. I mean, what she said, again, Mike Vrabel is the coach. Like, during the week, Mike Vrabel is grinding film and coaching players. He's the head coach. So I don't see it as some big bombshell. But does Jared actually, or is it just because he saw 2 hours of segments immediately and jumped all over it? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll get into this more with Kuharski coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Jay Miles from Lebanon on the text line says, if Simmons saw it coming, how much of a blind eye did Vrabel have to Levis? These videos make it seem like this team is re-energized. I hope that shows on Thursday. This is from Jay Miles on the text line.
So this might get into a little bit of a discussion with Junie that we're going to have. We have a lot of things to get to on this show, you know, grievances to air. This is kind of our Festivus show. Yeah, a blind eye. Again, like Levis is – like the plan was for Levis to not play this year, you know. The plan was for them to win and for Tannehill to be the starting quarterback and be healthy. Now, if your plan is for him to be healthy, then you should give him a better offensive line, I would say. But, you know, that was the plan. And it's a good plan. If you can pull that off, great. But Levis had a great game. And I knew, again, this is just like Hendon Hooker, you know. It's like, how could he not have been the starting quarterback? There's some things that you got to find out when the games happen. And the first tiny little bit of information we got on Will Levis is very encouraging. But let's not all start acting like, you know, or you can if you want. Junie probably is. Like Vrabel had, you know, had Brady in his prime on his bench and just ignored it.
Well, we'll begin to find out more of that tomorrow when he takes on Pittsburgh.
Will Levis got an autograph from Tom Brady, too.
That's what I hear.
By the way.
That's what I hear.
Big fan.
No, it's incredibly encouraging what we saw on Sunday. If he follows it up again tomorrow and he plays, maybe numbers-wise it doesn't look as good. I mean, maybe he doesn't throw for 4 touchdowns. But if he plays as well as he played Sunday tomorrow night and he's efficient operationally, he's making some big plays down the field, you know, he's not turning the football over, all those things, and the Titans are able to go in there and win. Like, I do think you raise your eyebrows a little bit and say, huh. So this kid, through 2 games, has come in and just looks really, really good. How has he been able to do this quickly? Because, I mean, look, the question's on Will Levis. We talked about this during the draft process. The talent was never the issue, right? Like, nobody has ever questioned that Will Levis has a huge arm, that he can make every NFL throw. He can do all those things. My question with him has always been about, can he take care of the football? Can he take care of the football? Can he make good decisions? And so far through one game, he has. He's taken care of the football. I thought he made good decisions. I thought he executed the game plan really well. I thought the Titans called plays really well on Sunday too. And, I mean, again, I said this yesterday, but the part that's lost in all this is, you know, Derrick Henry ran for 100 yards in that game, which I think is a big deal to the rest of the offense. And I think that he's going to need to be close to that again tomorrow against Pittsburgh. But if he comes in operationally and just looks as comfortable again tomorrow as he looked on Sunday, to me that's extremely impressive for a guy that young and a guy that's making his second NFL start at that point to go on the road in that environment and do that.
No, I agree. There's still, to your point on play calling, I mean, there's a lot that went into it. Some of it is, I agree, it was a good plan. Henry's a big part of, I think, the other day, too. I mean, are there going to be any moments when Levis looks downfield and there's a safety anywhere in the screen? You know, I mean, look, he threw NWI open on that last. That was a fantastic
absolutely
throw, no doubt about it. You know, the second Hopkins touchdown, I absolutely could have thrown that touchdown pass, maybe with my left arm. Well, maybe not gotten that far down the field, but you know what I'm saying. But I agree with you operationally. I think some of this is, I mean, it does remind me a little bit of, now, totally different situation because you're talking about Mr. Relevant, but like Brock Purdy goes in and there, and again, that's where Kyle Shanahan's like, you just don't know. By the way, because I know people love Duncan on this, Duncan,
nice.
You know, the S2 test, which again, Burrow knocked out of the park, Purdy knocked out of the park, Levis knocked out of the park. It's a little thing. Again, it's just like if you see a guy who's fast out there, it's like, wow, the 40 time was 4.3, so that does say something. I mean, complete trash. It is something that should be taken into account, and it kind of tells you a little bit about what I think we saw Sunday, which was, again, fast decisions and quick processing. And, you know, he's got to still throw the ball over the middle of the field, and that's where some of his accuracy at Kentucky at times was off to a – and that could be a footwork thing. That's, you hope you get that coached out,
sure,
right? You hope that, like, Charles Lennon has worked on that. I mean, they've improved Malik Willis for sure. From the time he got here to now. So if you can clean that up and get that more accurate, and then you take care of the ball,
yeah,
I mean, there's certainly a lot of talent here.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Junior Riddle here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 7:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. Clark, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're awesome, good, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Clark, obviously big game coming up against Auburn this weekend. Your wide receiver room right now, you talked yesterday about Will Shepard and Quincy Skinner. Just for Shepard specifically, what's he kind of dealing with right now, and how much, I guess, of a concern is that for Saturday's game?
You know, he's banged up. Obviously, the season takes its toll. I think he's fought through. There's nothing that is of long-term concern, and nothing that is necessarily going to, like, structurally hold him back. But, you know, like, there are certain things you have to do as a receiver that require an absence of discomfort and pain. And, you know, he's just fighting through that right now. He's tough. But, look, whoever's available, we have plenty of people in that room, including the young players that have stepped up all season. You know, we'll be excited to have those guys out there if he's not able to go and have full confidence that we can keep progressing offensively.
So, Clark, I remember scrimmage, and I think going back to the spring game last year too, you know, Walter Taylor, very intriguing young player. You could see a lot of talent, you know, still, you know, a long way to go and things like that. But, you know, what went into going to him, and what's, you know, what's the upside with Walter Taylor?
Well, we really think highly of Walt. Like you said, he's early. He's still early in on his career and learning the position, he's an unfinished product, but he's got a lot of raw ability. He's got a great attitude and approach, and he's a great representative of our program. as far as, you know, putting them out there on Saturday, we've really had this idea and really worked towards including him in our offense, at least in a package where, you know, he can go out and do some things physically that he's able to do that we believe separate him, you know, in our conference. And so we've needed him to, you know, take time to learn and own the operation as the year's gone. He's gotten comfortable with doing that. And so our plan was to insert him just in a, you know, maybe a situational role or get him some snaps throughout the game. I think at the time where we were just struggling offensively to get something going, it became about, you know, can Walt provide a spark? You know, sometimes those decisions are, what do we need to do here just to get something going, something started? He comes into the game, and the first play he runs, which is in a backed-up situation, he gets the ball through the line and onto the safety, and rather than sliding or trying to evade contact, he lowers his shoulder and runs through the tackler. And to me, that's the kind of mentality we needed in that moment, and we just felt like it was going to be his night to give it a go. And there were some flashes of some really good play, but the signature of a young player is going to be inconsistency, and you know, we want to see his completion percentage up. We want to see him a little more urgent in his process in terms of the progression and passing. But you know, there were also some flashes of some really positive things too. And so we'll keep him coming on. I want to see him back out there on Saturday, and I want to see him continue to grow.
So Clark, we know, you know, Hugh Freeze obviously has had success in this league as a coach. He's taken over now at Auburn. What have you seen now through the first part of this season from Auburn and Hugh Freeze, and what sort of challenge do you expect from them on Saturday?
They've been really good on defense, getting the ball turned over, and that to me is obviously the signature of a team that's going to find ways to win. And so we have, on the other side, our defense has actually generated turnovers this season, but we've been careless with the ball offensively. So that's going to be, to me, the number one aspect of the game that I'm going to be looking at is, you know, can we win the turnover battle? You know, their offense, they've established a running attack that's among the league's best. They do it in creative ways with formations and using the quarterback at times too. Those things can stress your structure. And so we have to, I've been disappointed in our run defense this year. I think, we haven't held up on that end as well as I would have liked. And so that's going to be another thing I'm looking at is, you know, can our run defense play the structure, get the ball, you know, channeled to the unblocked defender and down it. If we can do that and force them into third and long situations, I think we're going to have opportunities to win and get possession back for our offense. Offensively, you know, their defense has been effective defending the pass, but you know, not as effective against the run. So, you know, we've been kind of waiting for this run game to get going. I thought it showed some life in the second half of the Ole Miss game. A lot of that had to do with Walt and the presence he brought, but. You know, can we get a run game started against these guys so that we can grind out some possession? And in the passing game, to me, the shots will open up as we go. I'm really interested in the quarterbacks just about, you know, just finding some earlier completions. You know, get the ball in play, whether it's to the tight end or the running back. Can we just get it out in space and give our playmakers a chance to make someone miss? I think sometimes we hang on too much for you know, the design of the pass concept, and we missed an opportunity to get the ball in play and just stay on track. So those are kind of the things that I'm looking at and I'm excited for. I think with what Coach Freeze has done, I mean, they've, like is typical now, there's been a lot of turnover on that roster and a lot of new players added. I think they're building chemistry as the year goes, and they're coming off a nice win against Mississippi State. We expect to get their best shot.
So you mentioned that run defense, Clark. I mean, obviously, Langston Patterson has a really good game last time out for you. Kane gets in there too. I mean, is there a group, an area of that defense that really needs to step up to be better against the run, or is it just the whole operation?
You know, we've had flashes. Again, you go back to the consistency is the word. I think we first have to take ownership as a coaching staff of the design and to say, you know, there was a – in the – I think the second – Ole Miss's second drive, I think they ripped off a 40-yard run that set up that ultimately ended – the possession ended in the field goal that we had the sack fumble on, created the sack fumble. But that 40-yard run was not a flaw in a player or execution. It was just the defense, the structure that we were playing on didn't have a defender where we needed to have a defender. So the first ownership comes in the design. You know, are we taking away the things that they do? Are we making sure that we have people where we need the people? From there, like, it's not like, you know, the teams that we play, and this is no different with Auburn, you know, they designed to get the ball into space, and the way you eliminate space defensively is not having one player that runs around and erases the ball. It's about having 11 players seeing what they need to see and seeing it early in the down so that you can take the space early, and that way at the finish point you're not tackling in space, right? You've eliminated it and you're on body. And so that comes down to the unit working together and playing, like I always say, playing within structure. I think times where we've done that well, you know, we've been like the defense will stop the run. Like we will have someone in position to stop the run. You know, when we haven't done that well, we've absorbed some explosive runs, and that's what I think has really hurt our run numbers.
Well, Clark, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck coming up on Saturday against Auburn, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, guys. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. You as well. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Interesting game for them. It's their home finale coming up on Saturday, Joe, against Auburn. You got South Carolina on the road after that, and then, of course, Tennessee on the road to close out the season for Vanderbilt. Walter Taylor gets in there on Saturday, so it's kind of the third quarterback they've gone with this year. You know, Ken Seals, I think, has been okay so far. I am interested to see what they do at quarterback. It sounds like, at least from that conversation, that Taylor is going to play on Saturday. Will he start? Will he get the majority of the reps? Going to be interesting to see what Vanderbilt does at quarterback on Saturday.
Right, and there's A.J. Swan's health, yep, too, which still wasn't all the way back last week. So it's very interesting. Walter Taylor is a very intriguing prospect for sure. Anybody who watched any of that game, he made some plays, but you could also see, as Clark said there, you know, raw, certainly a raw young player. Going to be very interesting to see his development. And, you know, look, this is a game Vanderbilt, if things broke well for them, they could win. Maybe even at South Carolina.
The
next two games
are
opportunities. It would be a big shot in the arm for this program to be able to get one.
It would, and, you know, obviously you come off the bye week and then, you know, 33-7 to Ole Miss going on the road there. It's just a tough deal for Vanderbilt right now. Can you find a way to be in the game in the fourth quarter against Auburn? I mean, Auburn's offense this year has not been very good. You know, Clark Lee spoke about their defense creating turnovers, and they've had some good games defensively. But I feel like this is a game where Vanderbilt should be able to hang in there a little bit offensively. Like Auburn's offense, I know Hugh Freeze – is an offensive guy, but they don't really look like they have the players right now offensively, at least haven't to this point in conference play. So interesting to see how Vanderbilt's defense does on Saturday against that group.
Yeah, Peyton Thorne is solid. I mean, he's better than the Michigan State quarterbacks that were left behind there.
Yeah.
But not great, you know. That will, you know, they will, as things move forward, they're going to probably look more like Hugh Freeze offenses, but this year is not that.
No question about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 as Joe Rexroad slams his headset down in total anger. Coming up next, speaking of Rexroad's anger, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Couple of division championships under Mike Vrabel that reached the AFC championship game. Levis off the fake, looking for Hopkins, he's got it! Touchdown, Tennessee! Second down, back to Will Levis. Caught by Hopkins on the run, and he spins into the end zone. Second connection, Levis to D-Hop. Levis, that pump. Hopkins behind the defender, and he's got it on the run. Third touchdown of the day, Levis to Hopkins for Tennessee. Levis towards the end zone. Got a man. Touchdown.
Wow.
Westbrook Akine, and it's the fourth TD pass of the day in the debut of Will Levis.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode.
Why is he playing the Curb music with this? You play the Curb music when it's like bloopers.
Maybe it's because you're a clown. Maybe that's what he's trying to say.
What's happening. Okay, all right, bring it on. Yeah, I'm actually going to bring in, Will on the text line. He's probably in the same boat with Junie here.
Okay,
so I said earlier on the show, the plan was to sit Will Levis this year. That's a good plan. If you can pull it off, great. Will says, if you can pull that off, great. Absolute delusion. And I said, it's delusion to let a rookie QB sit and learn from a good starter? Why? And then, of course, did you see Levis play on Sunday? LOL. I assume this is basically Junie's take. Look, right now, Junie, post-game Junie in there with his sweet little red jacket is all, ready to get after me.
He did look good on Sunday.
Junie or Will Levis?
Both.
Both did, yeah. Will Levis played great. It's a heck of a story. Good for the Titans. Good for Levis. It's going to be fascinating to see where it goes. It does not change anything about our conversations in August. Not one thing. But, Junie, I'll let you go ahead and
do whatever
you want to do, Junie.
No, I just want you to tell me because you spent so many Rex rants on it. Calling me.
How many Rex rants?
At least three.
Yeah,
at least
three or four.
That's almost 45 minutes of your life complaining about my takes, acting as if I was delusional for wanting this guy to come in and thinking that he could be a spark for this team. And clearly,
he should not have.
Clearly,
started.
He was.
Yeah, he was a spark for this team. After
I never once ever came on this radio program and said that he should start week one. I've never said that. I said,
Robbie,
I said he should start sooner rather than later, and there should be a plan in place for there to be a transition. Now it naturally happened with Tannehill's injury.
There wasn't a plan in place, as there shouldn't have been.
No, that was my opinion, that there should have been.
Right. It was a bad opinion. Nothing
about – How is it a bad opinion, Joe? He just had one of the greatest debuts in NFL history.
And yet tomorrow night, as you are sitting there on press row and you'll have your little terrible towel and you'll be like, doing this underneath the table, as he throws three pick sixes, then I'll yell at you. Look, again, good for Will Levis. I will raise my hand on this. I had him fourth among these four guys coming out. And right now, I may be having to eat crow on that. But this idea that it's so stupid to go with the proven starter. Look, you're a Tana hater. That's fine.
I'm not a Tana hater.
Sure you are.
I just don't think he's good enough.
I'm not a Tana hater.
He just
he's
sucks.
Terrible.
Yeah. All right.
He's only 30th in the league in QBR. He only has two touchdowns and six picks on the year.
Yep.
And a rookie quarterback in his debut has twice as many touchdowns.
There it is. You are now going down the Jared path of making an argument. Pick your numbers.
Jared doesn't feel that way. Jared came on yesterday and said that he's like, pump the brakes, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm saying people should be excited for this.
I agree. No, what I'm saying on the Jared is that's what he does, right? He'll take a little tiny little segment, and then that's his whole argument.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill, how many yards is he throwing for in this league? Whatever you think of him, some people hate him, some people like him. He's done a lot more in this league, obviously, than any of these rookies. And he was the starter, and the plan was to be good this year, and they weren't. And to me, other than the first game, it wasn't at all on Tannehill. But you tell me, Rob.
Well, let me ask you this. If Levis, and this is a very – kind of ridiculous question in some ways, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If Levis continues to play pretty well and it's a consistent thing from here on out, do you think the Titans made a mistake not going with him originally?
No. Again, let's remember that Levis hurt his quad. And guys, you were out there at practice. I understand you like Levis's talent. We just saw it Sunday. He's got a lot of talent.
Did you sit there in practice and say, oh, yeah, he should be starting? No. Oh, yeah, he's better than Malik. I didn't say that.
But what did I tell you, though? What did I tell you? I said, he's a rookie. He's coming into the NFL. Everything is fresh. I told you this. I said this verbatim, Joe.
Okay.
I said he is going to progress faster than you anticipate. I was like, again, and I referred to Kenny Pickett last year. Mm-hmm. Kenny Pickett was the third quarterback behind Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky. And he was. I mean, Mason and Mitch both outperformed him in training camp, and they looked like the better quarterback.
Okay.
As training camp went on, he became quarterback two. He didn't pass up Mitch, but then by the time that he came in, he was the best quarterback on the roster. These rookies, when they get in here, especially when they're smart and they're older and they're more NFL ready than, you know, guys that are like an Anthony Richardson with raw talent, they progress very quickly once they get into the system and they adjust to the speed. And that's exactly what we saw with Will Levis. I just want my credit. I just want to say Junie was on this from the summertime before anybody else, and I told you all that he was going to be a pretty solid quarterback.
Well,
I'll give you credit for what
let's
liking Levis.
It's one game. Yeah.
It is one game.
I saw Marcus Mariota play one game. It was Marcus 158.3.
Was Marcus making throws like that in that game? No, he was 13 of 15, dinking and dunking, barely got over 200 yards.
The point
is, this guy was throwing the
game.
Ball down the field, though. Robbie.
I hear you. It's one.
But either way, it's one game.
And we talked about the offensive line. He went out there with the same offensive line Tannehill had. And look what he did. Because he gets the ball out fast. He plays in a pro system. Because he's a rookie, the Titans can now go back to their identity of running the ball. This is all things that I said. This forces the Titans to play their kind of football, and it allows Will Levis to open things up with the run game and then the play action, which he is a specialty at. We saw that in the Manning camp and in those, how he likes to perfect the play action, and you're seeing the results of it.
Look, I give you credit for liking Levis, and it's worked out timeline-wise because Tannehill got hurt. The whole argument back then, though, was that you just thought that he should just automatically get the job over Tannehill.
No, I did not think he should automatically. I thought that there should be a transitional period because I think Tannehill has reached his peak.
Right, but, Junie, if the Titans were – like, if they were 4-2 and Tannehill didn't get hurt, we wouldn't have seen this. And I don't think we should have
But I told you this. I said their offensive line isn't good. Tannehill needs help around him. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the talent or the capability to uplift those around him. He needs those around him to uplift him. That is the difference. Levis, with his
Levis
talent and
carries
capabilities,
teams after one game per Junie.
He can.
Okay.
Clearly he can.
Right. Hey, man, if Will Levis goes on from here, I give you credit for liking Will Levis for sure.
Look, I'm not bought in on Will Levis after one game yet either, though. Like, we need to pump the brakes a little bit after one game.
You have cut the brakes in the car. You are – I mean, you're driving to Pittsburgh today and just not stopping at all. Just – I mean, let's see. But the bottom line is the idea of sitting a rookie, that was the crux of the argument, wasn't it? I mean, and to me – We've seen success both ways. It would not have been a bad thing for the Titans to have him sit. You're right. He's older. He was in a pro system. All those things help him get to this point quicker. But it's not like it would have been some, you know, gross, you know, misplay of the roster to sit him this year. If Tannehill was healthy, if Tannehill was winning, if they were winning, look, you can talk about his Tannehill stats. He had a bad game. Other than that, all the 2-4 was not about Tannehill.
When I look at Tannehill play and compared to what Will Levis did this past week, Levis is getting the ball out quick. I feel like what I've seen from Tannehill, although he hasn't played bad and not necessarily everything is his fault, again, he can't adjust to a bad offensive line. He doesn't get the ball out quickly.
Yeah,
he doesn't trust himself.
That's inaccurate. He gets the ball out quickly. And let's remember that this team is averaging 28 points a game at home. Well, Tannehill quarterback two of those games. And on the road, they're terrible. At Cleveland, no chance to do anything. I mean, he got the ball out quickly there because it was like half a step and throw it up to the sideline. That's all you could do that day. I mean, Tannehill not getting the ball out quickly, that's not accurate, Jim.
Me going back and watching the film a little bit here and there, I saw him.
Hashtag Junie's film room. We need to get you and Jared together on Aaron Brewer. Where do you come down on Aaron Brewer in Junie's film room?
On Aaron Brewer? I mean, I'm not too high on Aaron Brewer. He has his moments here and there in the run game. I just think in pass protection, he's not that great.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45.
Bring that terrible towel, Junie.
Junie feels a little bit better. I can already tell. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on Will Levis, his performance on Sunday, the game tomorrow against Pittsburgh, and the NFL trading deadline as well. All of that coming up next. Make sure you join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 9 matchup against the Steelers and give you the latest updates before the game. NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.